You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. At 5:45, we'll have our Bet 365 triple option feature. We'll talk a lot, certainly, about the baseball series this weekend where, man, I give Texas A&M a lot of credit. They showed a lot of grit. A lot of grit and toughness, and they hung in there. Now, Ianson was unbelievable. Certainly Friday night throwing the baseball, but Saturday throwing the baseball. But, man, A&M just hung in there, and was able to win two out of three. And we'll talk to the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Chris Blair comes on with us a little after 4:20. Charlie, this broke, I guess, maybe about 15 minutes ago, but no surprise here. The Baltimore Ravens have released Justin Tucker, the all-time best field goal percentage kicker in the history of the National Football League with over 100 attempts. He has hit 417 of his 468 field goal attempts in the regular season. 89.1% percentage rate on field goals. The long one of 66 yards. But, man, allegations which started coming out right after the 2024 season about him, numerous women charging different type of things on Justin Tucker. And we knew that it was just a matter of time before the Ravens were going to release him. And then they drafted Tyler Loop, who was a really good kicker, University of Arizona, brought him in. But it was made official today. The Baltimore Ravens have released Justin Tucker, who's got some things off the field he's going to have to clear up, and seems to be very serious charges that are on Justin Tucker at this point.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of separate the art from the artist, I guess, Mike, because this on-the-field stuff is unbelievable. Maybe the greatest kicker in NFL history, an 8-time All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler, member of the 2010s All-Decade team, but ESPN's Adam Schefter had that report as well, that 16 different massage therapists have accused him of inappropriate behavior. So we'll see what happens, Mike. It could be another kind of Deshaun Watson type of situation here.
No question. And last year, Charlie, was the first year. Now, he came into the league in 2012. It's the first year he has not hit 86% or more of his field goals. Now, you know, sometimes things away from the game or away from work distract you. He was 22 of 30, which is good, but it's 73% for Justin Tucker. That's a bad year for a guy throughout his career has never had a season up until last year that he didn't hit 86% of his field goal attempts. Yeah, that goes to show you just how talented. You know what I always remember Justin Tucker for? Saints playing the Baltimore Ravens. And he had not missed an extra point in high school, college, and the pros. And he shanks one late in the Saints win against the Ravens.
just think about that, though, Mike. You know, even with the bad season that he had this past year, and quote-unquote, it's bad because of his incredible standards, 417 of 468 on field goals for his career. That 89.1% field goal percentage is the highest career percentage in NFL history, minimum 100 attempts. So it was an impressive career for him, but it definitely seems like it's coming to an end.
He set basically the gold standard as far as kicking is concerned. He set it when you that good of a field goal kicker, and I think throughout his career for extra points, I think he kicked 532 extra points, and he hit 524.
Man, incredible.
That's something, and to think about that first miss was against the Saints.
Right.
And basically, the Saints ended up winning the game and not being thrown into overtime because of the fact that Tucker missed that extra point.
I'll never forget his face after that, too. He was just so shocked. Like,
what?
It never could have happened. But that's kind of implanted in my memories from that game as well, Mike. But, yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, the kind of revolution of kickers and the high standards that professional NFL kickers are held to these days really kind of did start with Justin Tucker being such a maniac. And it's just automatic. Every time he stepped on the field. And now you look at like the new era of kickers, like the Brandon Aubreys. I remember we talked with Morton Anderson about this, that there are guys that could potentially hit from 70 plus yards as a field goal kicker. And it's just unbelievable, but it's the evolution of the modern kicker. And it really did kind of start with Justin Tucker.
Yeah. You look at what Morton was able to do. Morton kind of bounced around at the end of his career, like a lot of kickers do. And Adam Vinatieri, because Adam sort of took it from Morton and took it to another level, and then Tucker comes in, and he takes it from Vinatieri to another level. So Justin Tucker released from the Ravens, and it was announced officially from the White House today by President Trump that the 2027 NFL draft will be in Washington, D.C. We had on Kelsey Nicole Nelson last week, and she said, Mike, I think it's going to happen, that we're going to have it here in 2027. In 2026, it'll be in Pittsburgh, PA. But in 2027, in our nation's capital, that's where the NFL draft will be, with the backdrop of the Washington Monument. I mean, because you know the NFL is going to make this a big-time event, having it in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, absolutely. And the backdrop's going to be awesome. Every single year, Mike, the draft continues to get bigger and bigger. Like, last year's event at Detroit was awesome, and then Green Bay somehow one-upped them this year. You know, Pittsburgh's going to try to do the same thing, and then Washington the year after. It's like we've talked about, you know, once the ratings numbers came out for the NFL draft, that it just gets better year after year.
No question about it. When we come back, we'll have a lot more sports talk here on the Big 870 and be talking a lot about LSU baseball. Got rained out Friday night, split on Saturday, had the game, and it slipped away late yesterday against the Aggies. We'll have on with us the voice of the LSU Tigers. Chris Blair will join us here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglio along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Chris Blair. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, guys, great to join you. Great to join you on what looks to be a beautiful day, although I don't know how long it's going to last this week.
Yeah, that's what they tell us. Man, we had a really, really nice weekend, and then looks like typical weather in the south, the skies are going to open up for 3 or 4, maybe 5 days here with us. Chris, it was kind of the yin and the yang this weekend with LSU. You get rained out on the Friday, and you had an opportunity. But, man, wasn't this weekend all about pitching? And what we saw with Ianson, that's the best I've ever seen him pitch. The very best. Basically, no hiccups along the way. And sometimes with him, you sort of see a little bit of that somewhere during the game. He didn't have any of that. But really, it came down to A&M really stifled the bats of LSU this weekend. That's why they come out winning 2 of 3.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I think all three games, just based on, you know, when you watched it, you realize this was a pitching dominant weekend, and really by both staffs. I mean, again, just runs at a premium, and, you know, that's kind of an overused cliche, certainly in baseball. But, I mean, when you look around the SEC most weekends, Mike, you're going to see, you know, some pretty high-scoring affairs. The one that comes to mind this weekend, Florida won 22-3 over South Carolina. So, you know, typically you'll see a pitcher's duel most of the time on Friday. Occasionally you'll get one on game two. And then you see the offense open up a little bit more, you know, in game three. It's hard to have that type of pitching for three straight games. But, you know, credit, to be honest with you, both of these teams, while A&M would score 6 runs yesterday to come from behind to win 6-4, I mean, it wasn't easy. And when I look back to this series, I kind of felt this way coming off the Tennessee series, but it felt even more this way, Mike, that every single pitch in all three games had so much value to it. I mean, everybody was on the edge of their seat for every pitch and for every at bat. And that goes to show you, I mean, how good the pitchers were. And, you know, deservedly so, Anthony Ianson named SEC Pitcher of the Week. I don't think there's any question about that. A complete game victory in this day and age of college baseball is rare. And, you know, in fact, I've seen 2 this season, and I think that's the most I've ever seen in 1 year at the Division I level over the last 10 years. So it doesn't happen often. So kudos to Anthony. Certainly deserved the award, deserved to help his team win the one game in College Station. And I'll say this, I said it going into the weekend, two teams that I still think are pretty dangerous, although they got off to horrible starts this year. Texas A&M is one, Florida is the other. And the Gators certainly, you know, beat the tar out of the Gamecocks at home this weekend. And again, A&M's a very good team with a very good lineup. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they really have turned the corner to see this team for the Aggies go pretty deep this year.
Chris, one of the things, we had Coach Johnson on Thursday afternoon, and I was talking to Jay about this, that, you know, when you lose a star player like who they lost early in the season, and I mean, he was a stud for them, I think it's not so much the earthquake as the aftershock event of how you deal with it. And I thought they had some difficulties early on replacing a guy that was kind of really difficult to replace. This next man up stuff, that's for the birds, because there ain't no man there that's as good as he was or even in his zip code. But they were able to get out of it and figuring out another way to win. And it's funny what you just said about every pitch, every play. That's exactly what Jay Johnson said Thursday. You're playing in the SEC. It's every pitch, every ground ball, every fly ball. There's not a lot of room for error here. And I think you saw that in full display this weekend. But I think A&M now has got some firm footing because they were – basically, Chris, I think everybody had them. I've got two different magazines in front of me. Both of them picked A&M to not only win the SEC, but to win the national title this year. But, man, it was a real struggle. And it does go to show you, when you lose a superstar player, it's that next man up theory doesn't quite work. You have to figure out another way to win. And I give the rookie coach a lot of credit for getting them to that level.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, again, you know, you look back at their early conference start and they were horrible. I mean, we were all scratching our heads because we saw the roster prior to the season. I think many of us thought, okay, you got a first time head coach, been around some great programs, been around some great coaches. So, you know, he's going to be good. How good will he be in year one? Well, it's going to help that he's got a pretty good looking roster. You know, a lot of those guys that were on that team last year, you know, one game away from, you know, winning the national title, they didn't leave as many as you would think. There was a lot of guys who stood up. They wanted Coach Early to get the job. They made that well known. And then they put their money where their mouth was, and they suited back up for the Aggies. The problem was you lost, as you mentioned, some really key contributors, not only on the mound, but there were times they were without, you know, some really big at-bats, as well as, you know, they had to move a lot of guys around in the field, both the outfield and infield. And they really suffered a lot of defensive errors. And the funny thing is, if you go back and look at their schedule and you just look at wins and losses to start the season, what you need to do is dig a little deeper and realize how many games in the eighth or ninth inning that Texas A&M still had a chance to pull it off, and it just didn't go their way in a number of games that would have decided either a sweep or not a sweep or a series win or a series loss. And so now over the last four weekends, I mean, you're talking about going to Knoxville, taking two of three from Tennessee, going to Arkansas, who just swept Texas, and winning two of three in Fayetteville, and then losing three games to Texas in Austin in a high rivalry game in low scoring affairs, all by one run. So again, I don't think a lot of people were super surprised at how well Texas A&M played. I think there's more of a concern on, you know, were those the best pitchers LSU has seen in SEC play? My thought would be no, and taking nothing away from them. They were effective. But are they the most highly sought after? Are they the most talked about? No. So to me, LSU's offense, I think, is probably the biggest takeaway from the weekend is, you know, we said it, they got up early 2-0 yesterday, which is great. They got up 4-2. But there was just kind of this feeling in the back of your head that, you know, typically in a game three, two runs ain't going to do it. And frankly, four runs ain't going to do it. And, you know, I think that's where LSU is. Now, I say that coming off two games like the run rule victory over Tennessee 12-2 and then the 15-2 run rule victory over a very good Southeastern team during the midweek. So, yeah, they're there, but is the consistency there? And now you're looking at two more SEC weekends with a very hot Arkansas team coming in. And then you've got to go to South Carolina. Then you've got to go to Hoover. Then you're going to see where you are when a regional comes along. And that's where offensive consistency in this sport, like in any, is just so important. Because once you get beyond that, you know, unless you're in the double elimination round, you know, your season can come to an end very quickly.
You know, Texas A&M, Chris, after a 1-9 start in SEC play, 9-5 in their last 14, as you mentioned, taking three series from top two ranked opponents, you know, ranked with Tennessee and then Arkansas and now LSU. But I see a lot of panic, right, from LSU fans. And my one thing, and I know it's really stupid to say this in hindsight, you're four outs away from winning the series at Bluebell Park when you don't play your best ball, especially offensively, as you mentioned. And, I mean, it was the people that were criticizing Jay Johnson for taking out Chase Shores and going to Connor Ware in that situation in the bottom of the eighth inning with two outs. I mean, Jace LaViolette, it worked. It worked. He just got a swinging bunt, and Michael Braswell wasn't able to get it in time. It was, you know, any other day, it could have been an out. And you're out of that inning without having to go to Zach Cowan, where he gives up the three-run shot. But you are so, so close to a weekend series victory at Bluebell Park against a red-hot A&M team. You can throw away, you know, their weekend series sweep at Texas, because all three of those games, one run, could go either way. It's a team that, once you're looking into regional play, because they're going to get there at this point. They have Missouri this upcoming weekend. They're going to reach that 13-win threshold at this point. They're going to be a 2 or a 3 seed in a regional that no host wants to see. So my message to LSU fans is just relax. This upcoming weekend against Arkansas is massively important, but don't panic about losing 2 or 3 against a red-hot Texas A&M team.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's any reason. And frankly, I can say with good assurity that there's no panic button in the building over at baseball. They just don't believe in it. And Jay Johnson certainly doesn't feel that way. And to be honest, I mean, yeah, everybody wants to beat Texas A&M. I get it. I mean, you want to win every game. And certainly I want to win every game. But it's just not, it's just not doable. You know, when you look at the SEC this year and you look at some teams where you say, well, okay, they're playing so-and-so and they're playing at home or they're playing on the road, I know who's going to win this. The truth is you don't. That's, again, no disrespect to Missouri, but the 15 teams in the SEC can beat any of the others on any given day. It's just, that's just the way it is. And that's what makes the SEC as good, because when you're in the upper echelon of the SEC, that means you've won the majority of your games. And if you can do that in this league, you're going to play pretty well against anybody else you're matched up against, the ACC or the Big Ten or the Big 12 or you name it. And that's what they're all working for. So, no, I understand the thought to reach for the panic button. But I would assure you that, again, when you look at the overall record and then you dig into the offensive statistics, is this a low point? Was this weekend a low point? Yeah. Was the Auburn weekend a low point? Yeah. But those are the valleys. I think, are there more peaks than valleys? That's what I look at in a 56-game regular season. And I think, without question, LSU's had way more peaks than valleys.
Chris, when you said that, it reminded me of something Skip Bertman told me years ago. You know how many times I've been fired by fans? but you had to hear Skip say it. He was really good at it. It's like, man, the fans, you know, you win a national title, they still want to run you off. So he says, hey, you know, I do what I do. And, you know, he said, no knock against them, but if they were in that position, you know, if you had the talent, you'd be where I am. But it was typical Skip about saying that. One thing that I've heard Jay Johnson say from almost the moment he was at LSU, and he's come on his program numerous times, he's always talked well about opponents. If it was Texas A&M, if it was Texas, if it was Florida or Auburn, even Georgia now, certainly resurgence with Wes Johnson. You know what one team he has really talked it up about? Arkansas. Every year he speaks about that program and what they do and doing things the right way. Now, they haven't won a national title. They will, you know, what that pop fly drop from winning one. But he has always praised the Razorbacks. And so looking at this weekend, the keys here for a victory, and I know for a team, when a coach says that about another team, man, he got a lot of respect for what's happening at Arkansas.
Yeah, and I mean, you should. I mean, you know, Dave Van Horn is an institution. And, you know, again, as in most sports, you're as a head coach and even as players, I mean, you're certainly always going to be judged. Those who win national titles or championships are always kind of in a different level, if you will. And again, that would be the only way you would have anything not positive to say about Arkansas baseball. I mean, that has been a perennial winner. They put up 40 win seasons, you know, year after year after year, and they're no different this year. And, you know, I think a lot of that was, you know, Jay's first season here at LSU. It was a big eye opener, and I'll remember it very clearly. We went up there and struggled mightily in Fayetteville against a team that was three times bigger, stronger, and faster than LSU was in 2022. And that stuck in the mind of Jay Johnson. And he realized really quickly then what it takes. You've got to have a team that looks like that. And, you know, I think when you look at the 23 team and 24, and certainly from a size standpoint alone, you know, when you've got, I don't know how many pitchers on this team that are over 6'4", and you've got, you know, Jared Jones and you've got Ethan Frye. I mean, all of these guys are incredible athletes with a lot of size and power and speed. I mean, I don't know if you asked him now if he would point out that that was the game, but I know that he and I talked about that a lot after that series in 2022. So, yeah, I think that's why whenever anybody talks about Arkansas or talks about the strength of this league, one of the first programs that Jay's going to mention is going to be the Razorbacks. And again, I completely agree. There's a good reason for that.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Always enjoy when you're coming on. And for so many people who come on, they old school a certain age, or maybe you're traveling, man, they got that dial tuned into the Big 870. Listen to Chris Blair on the call. So, man, I hear it so many times. People, man, tell Chris when you see him. Man, he does a great job. You know, he gets me through some long travels and stuff like that. So I want to pass that along to you.
Well, I can tell you right now, Mike, thank you very much. And for a guy who grew up in the radio business, it's still a thrill to know that I'm heard on 870. Wow.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, buddy. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. When we come back, we'll have on with us Kat Terrell, covers the New Orleans Saints for ESPN. And, man, never a shortage of things happening in Saintsville. We'll have Kat on with us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, she covers the New Orleans Saints for ESPN, Catherine Terrell. Kat, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Kat, it's the soap opera with the Saints and Derek Carr. And every day it's like as the world turns. There's another little twist and turn in it across the board. My feeling is, and I've said this over the air, I've talked to Charlie about it, that I think what happened to have that Friday leak by Ian Rappaport, I think really caught the Saints kind of off balance here. And I know they're not going to say it, but by the reaction of not only Saints officials, but also Derek Carr, it's kind of like they're trying to win the PR situation here. Now, I understand Mickey Loomis, he's in a difficult spot here. No matter what he says, Derek's getting paid, okay? Bottom line, he's got his money, but this has put this team in a real kind of bind of exactly how to handle this right now.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm glad that they both gave us the weekend off so we could enjoy Jazz Fest. So, you know, it was nice to go a few days with nothing happening. But, you know, it's funny. I actually think both sides are losing the PR battle just by their stubborn refusal to say anything. I think that the Saints probably could have cleared a little bit more up by being a little more open. I understand before the draft, they didn't really want to say anything, but then it's after the draft and they still don't. Same thing with Derek Carr's side. He had every chance in the world to come out and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what happened. My shoulder's injured. Instead, he had his brother do it to a certain extent, and then, you know, had a sermon at church taking shots at the media for the speculation, which he could have ended by saying something. So, you know, it is funny. As you said, it is like a soap opera. I don't think anyone comes out of this looking good right now. We're 3 weeks out from OTAs. Is Derek Carr going to show up or not? That's really the big question now.
Bottom line, do you think he takes another snap in a Saints uniform?
That is a great question. I know people are very divided about this. A lot of people say, no, he doesn't. I still think that at this point, it can be fixed, that the Saints could figure out how to coexist with Derek Carr for one more year. The thing is, everyone knows it would only be another year, most likely. They drafted a quarterback. His contract jumps up even more next year to the point where they would have to address it. However, do the Saints simply want to throw away $40 million? That's the key question there. Are they okay with that? That's a huge sum of money. And so maybe that's why both sides aren't saying anything, because they're going to battle it out with the money in the contract. I don't know. That's just speculation. But I think it's still too early to say that it's absolutely done when we haven't gotten OTAs yet.
Kat, the other question is, have you ever covered a draft where the second-round pick has basically stolen all the air out of the room? Now, it's not his fault. He plays quarterback. And the one thing Hebert is absolutely right about, quarterbacks trump every other position on the team, but yet we've heard a little bit about Kelvin Banks night one. But everything and all the shows I do across the country, it's never about Kelvin Banks Jr. first. It's about Tyler Shuck. He's now not of his own fault, but because of the position, he has basically stolen the headlines away from the first round pick.
Yeah, it definitely is weird. It's weird in the way that I think everyone went into this draft highly expecting the Saints might take a quarterback. However, everyone felt the quarterback class wasn't good enough for the Saints to take a quarterback at 9. So even when they didn't take a quarterback, everyone was kind of waiting, okay, are they trading back in the first round or are they waiting in the second round to take a quarterback? So it wasn't a surprise, but you are correct in that we said a little bit about Banks and then immediately moved on. And maybe it's because, at least I feel like it's highly likely that Banks is competing for a starting job right away. So there's just no drama to that, maybe. All the drama is the quarterback position, and that's going to continue all summer.
I think one of the pleasant surprises, Kat, from this past draft, though, was the Saints, you know, kind of biting their tongue and not moving up, right? Like, there was some note that they had moved up 27 straight times in the draft versus never trading down. Loomis just doesn't do it. So when we had all these callers and texters asking, oh, are the Saints going to trade back from pick 9? They were never going to do it. But the fact that they didn't trade up and use, you know, next year's resources or any kind of extra resource to move up and get a guy, and they stayed pat and picked all 9 players in this draft class, I think was definitely a positive.
You almost want to kind of pat them on the back and be like, I'm so proud of you for, you know, not doing this. That actually is the most shocking thing on the draft. I'm with you. The other shocking thing is that they didn't take a receiver. That surprised me. I was waiting for that. No receiver, and the fact that they kept all those picks, it's definitely, maybe it signifies a new Saints approach. I don't know. Maybe they sign a receiver. They still have enough cap room, but yeah, not even one trade. That's pretty shocking.
Kat, the other thing is, and you brought it, I was going to be my next question about a veteran receiver. They don't have a big man receiver. All their receivers, the biggest ones are right around 6 foot tall. So you would sort of look around, and one in particular, because of his connection, certainly with Keenan Allen and his days with the Chargers. The other position for me is at cornerback. And, you know, man, I hear people say, well, they solved that. They drafted Quincy Riley. I think it's okay. Listen, I'm hopeful for Quincy. But you going in there with not a lot of depth at the outside corner position. Because I think eventually Riley's going to be the slot guy. I think that is sort of a position for him. Do you see in the offseason this team try either one way or another through a trade or veteran free agent to bring in a bigger receiver and also a veteran corner?
Yeah, I think they have to do something at receiver. You're exactly right in that it's kind of it's odd just to see them signing or retaining a lot of the same size receivers. They need to have that big guy, and I feel like Kellen Moore has been asked about this and indicated that that was something on their minds too. So yeah, I think that Allen would make a lot of sense, or, you know, just one of the other guys remaining out there. There's a lot of names out there, but I think at this point it's a lot of guys that, you know, are kind of on the tail end of their careers, things like that. So you can't necessarily expect, you know, a huge splash at this point. I don't know, maybe Keenan Allen would still be a splash. Cornerback, that's tough. You know, who's out there? Who would immediately make an impact? You got to assume Kool-Aid McKinstry is one starter. Alante Taylor is the other in some way. I don't know. You know, maybe they look at they re-signed Isaac Yiadom, maybe him, but that is a position where people are constantly getting hurt. So, that's something they got to address too, and I assume they will.
We keep getting texts as well, Kat, about Amari Cooper. You know, outside of Keenan Allen, that seems to be the next most popular name as far as the free agent receivers go, and the connection there, you know, when he was under Kellen Moore's offense from 2018 through 2021 in Dallas. And your thoughts on Amari Cooper potentially being a fit for the Saints?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I hear more about Allen than Amari Cooper. You know, maybe because Amari Cooper had, I don't know, would you call last year a quiet year? I mean, compared to just what he's done in the past, especially because he was on several different teams. I guess I have to wonder, again, at this time of the year, there people are available for a reason. You know, you're bringing in several receivers that have been around a long time. They're on the market for some reason. You know, Cooks is an interesting addition, but Cooks had knee problems in the fall. Like, is he going to be the same Cooks they had before? So I guess I'm saying it's a kind of temper your expectations. And yeah, I would be interested to see what, you know, a veteran like Cooper or Allen can do in this offense. We haven't seen, you know, what the Saints are going to look like yet. We don't know who's playing quarterbacks. There's so many unknowns and how all these guys will work together. But, you know, I definitely would be interested to see it.
Kat, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And when we get you back on, we're going to talk about a battle I think is going to happen. Who's going to be the kicker and punter for this team? I think it's kind of flying under the radar a little bit, but I think you got a battle on your hands here. Is who's going to be the place kicker and who's going to be the punter on this football team this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of interesting training camp battles, and we'll get to see the first of it at OTAs in just a few weeks. So Kat, finally get to real football.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear that. Thanks so much, Kat. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Kat Terrell does a great job covering the New Orleans Saints and pro football for ESPN. Come back, finish it up here on our number one of sports talk right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of sports talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have on with us on our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steve Geller will join us, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about a big addition to the LSU secondary, A.J. Halsey, a young man who highly recruited. Now it's his third stop, New Mexico, Houston, now at LSU, and I think he's stepping on the campus. He's going to be the starting safety for the Tigers. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.